Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, a couple of news items. First off, a lot of people have been writing me asking me, when are you guys going to do your questions and answer show again? And I had said a few weeks back, we were looking to do one, but a lot of the questions that come in, by the time they get to me, they've already been answered or they're no longer timely, you know? And so if you are going to write to us with a question, make sure it's not something you saw this week on Monday Night Raw, because by the time it gets to me and by the time we do the show, you know, it's old news. If you want to ask those type of questions, you're better off hitting us up in the chat room or the or calling us and asking us those questions. The questions we're looking for are questions in general that by the time it reaches us and we do the show, it's still timely and still important. Okay. So as soon as we get a bunch of those, we're hoping maybe in the next couple of weeks, we do have some waiting to be answered. And maybe in the next couple of weeks. Secondly, some people have written me asking me, what happened with the Velveteen Dream? Who was accused of sending nude pictures and soliciting nude pictures from minors? And the short answer is, nobody knows. It's kind of vanished like it never existed, which kind of stinks and kind of smells funny to me. I don't know what's going on. I mean, could the police have investigated and found out there was no merit? Yes, but then you would think that they would make that very clear and the WWE would make that very clear. Why it's taking so long for what should be a very open and shut case, I don't know. I honestly do not know. As soon as we find out something, we will definitely let you know. As far as the Alberto Del Rio case, that gets weirder and creepier and more bizarre every day. There's something mentally wrong with Alberto Del Rio. Either that or he is extremely, extremely addicted to severe narcotics. Because the actions he's accused of that's now coming to light, normal people don't do that. People who are not under the influence of some sort of narcotic or completely out of their mind, do not do that. Allegations have now come to light that this attack lasted some 13 plus hours, at which time she was bound, gagged, choked, beaten, forced to put on dresses and dance under threat that her son would be dropped off in the middle of the road, penetrated with various different objects, her passport burned, her laptop smashed, her cell phone smashed so she could have no chance to call someone. Here's the thing. Everyone always knew Alberto Del Rio had a bad temper, but a bad temper doesn't last 13 hours. That's called a drug-fueled rage episode. So I don't know where that's going to lead. I do know that he also is up some weapons charges. I don't think he's going to be able to weasel his way out of this. I think we're looking, this is a second-degree felony, I think we're looking at serious jail time for Alberto Del Rio. And when I say serious jail time, I mean probably more than 5 years. So I think that's probably the end of his wrestling career. That's the end of his career in general. And all for what? And, you know, we were hearkening back to the days when Paige was with him. And wrestlers were saying he's not a good guy to be with and you got to stay away from him. We were saying, yeah, you got to mind your own business. But see, we weren't privy to a lot of this that probably other people knew. And when her brother came forward and said, I know for a fact that he beats her, we said, oh, well, you know, maybe he's saying that. We don't know. Paige denied it. But now I think we're beginning to see the reason Paige got far, far away and the reason the WWE embraced Paige coming back and getting away from Alberto Del Rio. This doesn't sound like it was too far away from a fatal incident. And I can't even begin to tell you the amount of charges that could be leveled against him if they really want to throw the book at him, which they do. Well, someone's asking me if the Blog Talk Radio lines are down. No, we have a caller, so I'm not really sure what the situation is. The Blog Talk Radio lines are open. Let me check to make sure. Todd, are you there, and can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, yeah, okay. So the Blog Talk Radio lines are open. Anyway, there is a ton of charges here. Not just assault and battery, not just domestic violence, not just sexual battery, not just kidnapping. There's psychological, there's so many different possible charges. Now, they may combine them all into one or two. But if they really wanted to be picayune about this, they could hit him with about 35 different things. And the man would be facing, you know, 15 to 20 years in jail, which at his age, he's in his mid-40s, is, you know, it's the end of his career. And for what? Just a shame. Just a shame. Anyway, let's get on to Monday Night Raw, because what an interesting Monday Night Raw it was, huh? We start out with the man, Becky Lynch, coming out with a briefcase, the Money in the Bank briefcase. And she begins by saying, you know, she was never really too sure that the fans were going to take to her here in the United States, and but they did, and the fans were mostly responsible for her success because a lot of people backstage didn't see that in her, but the fans kept pressing them and pressing them and pressing them, and makes what she has to do a lot harder because she's going to be giving up, I guess, her championship. Asuka comes out to find out why she has her briefcase, and she's told, well, you weren't told everything. The truth is, open up the briefcase, the women's belt is in there. You didn't win Money in the Bank last night. You won the women's championship. Asuka reacts crazily, saying, I'm the champion, and then just tears off through the arena holding the championship belt. Now, I want people to understand that this segment probably had more real, honest emotion in it than any WWE segment in 5 years. And while Becky Lynch did a good job, this whole thing, if you understand the balance of acting and doing a skit like this whole thing was driven by Asuka. And I'll tell you why. Because while Becky Lynch had to go between being sad and happy, Asuka had to go from being, why are you holding my Money in the Bank briefcase? Why are you trying to cheat me out of the belt? To the confusion of, why am I the champion? And then what drove this whole thing home is when Becky Lynch says, listen, you go be a warrior, and I'm going to go be a mom. And it hits Asuka while she's leaving. And Asuka, I'm sure it was scripted, but Asuka totally breaks character and says, oh, my God, really? Congratulations. Hugs her. The whole thing is different. This is what I'm trying to explain to people. Makes things feel real. Even if that was scripted right down to the very, very last line. That's what makes it feel real. That's why you had honest emotion in this. Because a character that normally doesn't do something does. Asuka would normally say, give me my belt. Who cares why you're leaving? Goodbye. But in this moment, she's so struck by the fact that, oh, my God, she's going to be a mom, which is something, you know, all women look forward to, I guess, most. that she just breaks that facade and gives her a hug and says congratulations, even after the wars they had. That's very important to this segment. And it's not an easy thing to do when you don't have a great grasp of the language. Because you've got to do it with your facial expressions and your body language. And she did it. Which means that Asuka, her stock has risen tremendously. You can do these things with her. Before, they thought you couldn't. They just had Asuka come out. I'm the woman in the mask. I take off the mask. I beat people's ass. I put the mask back on. I go off. Because I really can't do these segments. I don't have a great grasp of the language. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure of myself. Well, Asuka's sure of herself now. And last night, she put on a tremendous performance as a shocked person who found out I actually won the belt. Now, Becky Lynch did a great job, too. This is a great segment and a great opener for Raw. My only real worry is this is not good for Raw because you're losing your biggest female star, bar none. Bar none. Charlotte Flair's not taking her place. Asuka's not taking her place. Shayna Baszler's not taking her place. Nobody's taking her place. She was the most popular person. So now you got some work to do, WWE, because you have got to decide who's going to try, at least, to take that spot as the most popular female athlete. And you got big shoes to fill. And this isn't something that's going to go away in a few months. I mean, in 9 months, she's not certainly not showing, so she's no more than a month or two. She couldn't be even that much if she wrestled at WrestleMania. So you're talking next year. And if you ever see Becky Lynch again, who knows? Maybe Becky Lynch will say, I'd rather be a mother. So you really have some big shoes to fill. But, Mike, this was a tremendous segment that was done perfectly. It wasn't overplayed. It wasn't underplayed. It revealed itself with a good flow. I mean, at first you thought, what? She said she can't fight anymore. Is she injured? You know, there was no real tipping of the hat until that one line, and then Asuka reacted perfectly to the one line. So I thought they did both did an excellent job. Let me go to Todd first. Todd, what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. It was a pretty good statement right there, like you said, when Becky Lynch handed Asuka the belt. I was like, Asuka's turned face right then and there.
Pretty much did. I would have to say, Mike, that's Asuka's face turn. You can't make her a heel after that.
Yeah, you really can't make her a heel, and you know, due to the fact of when she went back in the back and she was hanging out with Kairi Sane, you know. Now,
right.
We know her contract is coming up, but who knows? This if she ends up re-signing, you can't bury, and they basically stay together somewhat. You can't keep her a heel either. So, and look, that's what we've been saying. Due to the fact of those her channel and her, she shows her real life is better than her character, is more likable than her character. They can't keep Asuka heel. They just simply can't.
You wouldn't think so. No. Derek's saying, well, give me an example of like a question that you might have that's no longer relevant. Well, I mean, when is Nia Jax coming back? What have you heard about Nia Jax? You know, that kind of stuff. Why won't they use EC3? Those type of questions aren't worth answering now, right? So that's the examples. As far as an example of questions that are relevant. I mean, there are people who have asked about some of them are to do with the business aspect and saying, you know, if the WWE's losing this much money and cutting executives, not just workers and cutting executives and everything, are we going to see a raise in the network, or are we going to see are we going to see less pay-per-views or whatever? Those type of things we'll get to. Because those are relevant, and you can answer them down the road a ways. But, you know, There's going to be people who ask, what happened to the colognes? Well, we know what happened to the colognes now, right? So there's no point in me answering it on the air. That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, we get that great segment. And it really set the tone because it shows that when the WWE wants to, they can do these segments. The interesting thing is they let everyone just about break character except Seth Rollins, which I don't understand. I mean, you have AJ Styles doing family-oriented commercials before he's a bad guy and threatening to throw people off the roof. But you can't have Seth Rollins weigh in on the fact that he's going to be a dad. A little weird. A little strange. Anyway, we start out with Bobby Lashley taking on Humberto Carrillo. No disqualification match. I'm not really sure why. And Carrillo gets a little bit of offense, but really this is just a showcase for Bobby Lashley. And now we see why, because backstage, MVP was saying, look, when we were in another federation together, and even when we were in this federation, you were always a blue chipper. And you never really achieved what you had to achieve because you got something just locked in your head wrong. And you got to free that, Bobby Lashley. And until you can do that, you're not going to achieve what you're capable of doing. And if you need to talk to me, you know where I am. He then bumps into Lana, and he basically says, hey, your guy needs a manager. And she goes ballistic. So I guess we now are seeing what's going to happen here. And that is that Bobby Lashley is going to take on MVP as his manager. And I guess Lana's going to not be okay with it. Anyway, Carrillo got in a few shots, but basically it was a squash match of, glorified squash match. And Lashley wins. Not really much to talk about there. Backstage, we have Zelina Vega's crew at each other's throats, especially Angel Garza and Austin Theory. And I don't know where this came out of. I don't remember them having a problem, but here they are yelling and screaming at each other, and Angel Garza goes out to, I guess, try to prove something to Austin Theory, and Akira Tozawa is his opponent. And he's paying more attention to Theory than he is Tozawa, so I guess what we're going to get here is either Austin Theory is going to be kicked out of the fold, or there's going to be a friendly feud between the two, or a not-so-friendly feud between the two. Angel Garza comes up with a win. It's a good match. It's weird, Mike, because I don't think they've really reached anywhere near the amount of worth they can get out of these guys as a heel faction. And now it appears they want to try to break them up.
We've all speculated that the ones they would want to turn would not be Austin Theory, but would be, you know, either Andrade or Angel Garza, because, you know, it's going to be easy to turn Angel Garza because people are going to like him.
And, yeah.
I'll say this like I'll say it, like I would have said it with the whole situation before, with Oscar, when they start letting the crowds back in, of all the people in that group, who is the crowd going to want to cheer the most?
I agree with you. Yeah, and that's why it's going to be weird, Mike, because, see, they don't have the crowd to judge now. So they can say, well, Austin Theory is going to be the baby face. And, you know, I think if the crowd was there the whole time, they'd realize, it's not going to work. They're going to cheer Garza. So we're going to have to make Theory the heel and Garza the baby face. I really do think that that's probably the best idea. But this match is interrupted anyway afterwards by Drew McIntyre, who promptly takes care of Austin Theory and Angel Garza, challenges Andrade to a match. And the shame about this is Andrade versus Drew McIntyre, when it happened in NXT, was really a, you know, 4-star match. It was an excellent, they have great chemistry. It was an excellent match. It lasted 20 some odd minutes. It sold both guys tremendously. WWE is not interested in doing that. That's very obvious. And this was just a, you know, 6 minute match in which, yes, Andretti gets his moments in it, but at the end, just boom, Claymore kick, 1, 2, 3, that's it. I think they really missed some opportunities there. I think that we would have rather seen this at a pay-per-view and maybe make this a bitter feud where Andretti is saying, my belt is worth more technically than yours, I'm a better champion, that type of thing. Instead of just kind of dismissing him as, well, your third match or second match of the night, your third match of the night, and you just shorten to the point. I think they're missing the boat on that, Todd. I would have rather seen Angel Garza and Drew McIntyre have a program together that lasted a month or so.
Like you said, I think it would work with Garza and McIntyre to have like a little program for a month or two. You know, to get over, and you know, maybe have Garza be like a challenger for the WWE championship, but maybe a mid-card belt, like the U.S. belt or something. But either way, that would be a great feud with Garza and McIntyre there.
Well, even Andretti is what we're talking about, Andretti and McIntyre. Andretti and McIntyre in NXT was pretty damn good, Mike, and here it's kind of a, you know, it's I don't want to say a preliminary match, but that's kind of what it is.
Well, and think about this, though. Within those 6 minutes, 6 to 8 minutes, there was a ton of psychology going on. Because remember what they said? They said because of him, because of Andrade, the arm injury, the bicep injury happened, right?
Absolutely.
And what did Andrade do most of the match?
Yep.
He worked that arm.
Yep. And that's why I say you're cheating him. Because when you have that kind of ring psychology, could we have gotten this at a grander scale where Andretti and Drew McIntyre are more evenly matched and it's very tough to really pick a winner, you know? Now it's just like, oh, well, you know, Drew McIntyre's going to kick his head off. And then Drew McIntyre announces, well, this was kind of just a warm-up because next week I'm fighting a SmackDown star because they're returning this wild card rule. Why are they doing this, you ask? It's very simple. The TV networks basically demanded it. The ratings are dying. And the TV networks are none too happy about it. And they're none too happy about not having a Roman Reigns and a Brock Lesnar to help those ratings. So they're saying, what do you intend to do to drive these ratings up? So the WWE thinks that this is going to be the answer. I think this is not going to be the answer. I think this is exactly the opposite. You might as well then break the brand split up and go right back to what you're doing. We're going to have King Corbin come over because, of course, King Corbin would be a better matchup than Andrade versus Drew McIntyre? I don't think so. I don't think so. By the way, we're told that... I laughed out loud when I heard it. And Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black will be tag teaming tonight. And I'm like, what? They're both thrown off the roof. Well, here's how they explained it. Well, yeah, but there was another roof about 6 feet down. And they hit that. Okay. Well, boy, you want to talk about a spot for nothing. I mean, you want to talk about a spot that really was just for nothing. You now have it. Yeah, I got thrown off a 6-foot roof, but I'm okay, though. All right. Whatever. We get a moment of bliss, and the Iconics come out. Where they've been hiding, who knows? And that leads to the Iconics versus the Tag Team Champions. I'm going to be honest with you. I like the Iconics as far as their mic work. Their ring work bores me mostly. I'm just not into them as a team anymore because they've just been used so poorly. then I don't buy it. When, oh, they won, they beat the tag team champions. Gee, what a coincidence. You need somebody to defend those belts against, and they just happen to win a non-title match. You want to talk about lazy booking? You want to talk about dirt lazy booking? That's it. Introduce a team that we haven't seen in 8 months. Let them win a non-title tag team match and then demand a tag team title match. Wow. Wow. That's the best you can come up with, huh? You couldn't come up with any deeper storyline than that, huh? I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm glad to see the Iconics back, Mike, but I don't, number one, I don't think they're going to be tag team champions. And number two, I don't think the crowd is, not that there is a crowd, but the audience at home is overly interested in seeing this be a big feud between the Iconics and Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss.
Right, and it's really not time to separate Bliss and Cross, because that whole thing is working. You don't break what's working, you know. If it's not broke, don't fix it. That type of thing. It's kind of like the New Day. You don't break something that's not fit, that don't need fixing. So yeah, and really they should have been doing more with the Iconics anyway. But again, we know if they don't like their tag team, their male tag team division, what must they think of their female tag team division, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's good to see them back, Todd, but, I mean, I don't buy them as contenders. I just don't.
You're absolutely right there, like you said. I don't buy them either as contenders for the women's tag team belts. And like you said, if you're going to bring them back, you try to build them up again and go after, like, nobody teams like they did in the day.
Yeah, it just reeks of lazy booking. It just reeks of, well, we need somebody for next week, and we'll just bring them back. And it's just, God, it's just so lazy. I hate when they're that lazy, because it's just irritating. There's no reason to be that lazy. You can write better things for these teams and these individuals. Right now, we should be getting Andrade and Drew McIntyre in a really good feud that has legs, because Andrade was the one who put McIntyre out for all that time. That feud has legs. And it's a warm-up for Baron Corbin? How is that a warm-up for Baron Corbin? I mean, that's just lazy booking. You got the good match in front of you, and you opt for the bad match. Very strange. R-Truth returns his, what is he called, pretty Ricky character. You know, I don't know what you think of that. R-Truth, Cedric Alexander, and Ricochet actually defeat MVP, Shane Thorne, and Brendan Vink in a six-man tag team match. I don't want to tell you about that. You know, MVP takes the loss. Bobby Lashley comes out and tells him, we need to talk, after they beat the hell out of R-Truth. And off they go. So again, I think this match really was more about just to set up Bobby Lashley and MVP as being a team, as they were in Impact, and not so much even about Ricochet or Cedric Alexander or even Thorne and Vink, Mike.
Yeah, and I mean, look who they beat on. I mean, they beat on R-Truth. They can get away with that. You know, R-Truth is somewhat bulletproof because he's another one of these guys that when people, when you've got a guy that specifically says, I want to write something so that I can do something with this guy like Brock Lesnar did, then basically, it doesn't matter how much he wins or loses, he's R-Truth is bulletproof.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that if you're going to present Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink and you're going to make them something, or you want Cedric Alexander and Ricochet to be something, they probably shouldn't be the cannon fodder behind another story involving someone else. It's like, well, it has nothing to do with you. You're just warm bodies. You guys are the extras in this, you know, play that involves Bobby Lashley and MVP. That's what it felt like. Then we have this weird segment where I guess the Viking Raiders had said anything that the Street Profits can do, they can do better. So the Street Profits challenge them to basketball, except the Viking Raiders don't know how to play basketball or didn't even know what one was. And it's not that it's not funny, and it's not that it doesn't fit the Street Profits, but I don't know how this helps the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders are two steps away from being the Bushwhackers. This is what you want to make them, I guess, is these lovable, weird Viking characters. Okay. You know, if you want to make them Hagar the Horrible, go ahead. I just don't think the fans are going to like it. And then you had this weird thing where they lost like 40-2. And then they said, well, we let you win. And they started doing all these ridiculous half-court shots and slam dunks. And this isn't my thing. I mean, this is my thing if you got comedy teams. This is my thing if you're just trying to build up a couple of undercard comedy teams and you're like, this, you know, we'll do this. Much like the 24/7 belt. I wasn't really a big fan of the 24/7 belt, but if it used your undercard, even in a comedic way, okay, that's good. At least somebody can come to the arena and say, I don't have a match, but I do have something to do. I'm a part of this undercard 24/7 thing, you know, that's being played for laughs. That's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But these aren't your undercard guys. These are your main guys. And you're playing them like jokes. You're playing them for laughs. And I just don't I just don't think that's the right way to do it. I just don't. Again, Todd, it's not that it wasn't funny, but it just seemed misplaced, especially with the Viking Raiders.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, for the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits, that's one of the dumbest excitements I've seen with upper card tag teams. They could have put something like lower mid card tag teams or something to do something like this for like a comic relief. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters basketball game or something.
That's what it was, yeah. That's what it reminds me of. Look, if you like this with the Viking Raiders, fine. I don't. I think the Viking Raiders should be exactly what they're supposed to be. Big, mean, brutal, monstrous, destructive people. Not cartoon characters, but okay. I just don't think it does them any good. And it doesn't do the feud any good because they're that close of friends. Are we really interested in these feuds? I mean, I just don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. I like the comedy aspect of wrestling, but not when it involves major champions and feuds, because I just don't – I think it undermines it tremendously. So we get a segment where Shayna Baszler has basically said that Becky Lynch's career is over now because she's got a parasite living in her, and then Natty comes out and says, you know, that's a pretty lousy way. You got a pretty lousy attitude talking about motherhood and everything. She says, well, you're never going to be a mother. So what do you care? And the Hart legacy is going to die with you, which we all know. And that's to set up for a match. But that before that, we get Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black versus Seth Rollins and Murphy. And the gimmick is that Seth Rollins is kind of like in a hypnotized trance. Now, my initial thought on this was that he was shell-shocked he was going to be a father. And I thought, this is where we're going to see Seth Rollins bow out for a little while, too. He'll probably disappear with Becky Lynch for a while. I really did. Because I thought, why is he in a trance? Because he lost? They kept saying it's because he lost to Drew McIntyre. I'm like, that can't be right. That can't be right. And he just stands on the ring apron, lost in thought, while Buddy Murphy does most of the work. And he does not really come to life until Rey Mysterio actually bumps into him. And then he just loses it. And he attempts to put out Rey Mysterio's eye with the ring stairs. Gets his team disqualified. And it's just, I don't know what you're going to, I don't know what you're trying to do. I guess you're trying to do this thing by which he's peaceful for a little while and then he snaps. This isn't going to work. If you think this is going to work long-term, if you've got this goal long-term where Seth Rollins is going to be normal and peaceful and then he snaps every match, it's not going to work. Because number one, he didn't do that good of a job of acting shell-shocked and dazed. He just stood there like, you know, he overplayed it. There is such a thing as overplaying it. And I think he overplayed it a little bit. You could stand there, but you have to, you know, you can be like distracted and not really into it, but still look like you're conscious. He just looked like a cardboard dummy, a wooden Indian they set there. That's probably not the way you want it to go. And I know that Seth Rollins upset with the WWE. Seth Rollins did an interview where he basically laced the WWE for this Hell in a Cell thing with The Fiend, saying, I was thrown to the wolves there. I was put in a situation where there was absolutely no way I was ever going to come out of this looking good. They knew if they put me in there against Bray Wyatt's Fiend, I was going to get booed out of the building. The way they booked the match, they knew I was going to end up the heel. They threw me to the wolves. There was no way I could defend myself against it. What could I do? And at the bottom line of the situation is I went from a top face to a mid-card heel overnight because they decided to put me in a bad situation. It's pretty strong words. So now we'll see what they do with him as a result of this. There was a backstage segment where he, I guess, was attempting to apologize, and then Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy got into it backstage, and we didn't see Seth Rollins anymore. It was a weird segment, Mike. I'm not sure it's going to have legs if they do this every week, though.
Right, and you know that they did, that both of them asked for time off, both Rollins and Becky Lynch asked for time off. We now know why Becky Lynch asked for time off, but we know that Seth did. And you know that after everything is said and done, and she has her baby and whatever, and we know he's going to come back, and if both of them come back, you know both of them are going to get cheered. You know that, right? So
probably. But I don't think he's going anywhere, Mike. I really don't. I don't think the WWE is going to let him go because we're now in a time where Roman Reigns won't come to the arenas. Brock Lesnar won't come to the arenas. They need star power. And I think they've told Seth Rollins, we're already losing Becky. We sure as hell can't afford to lose you. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think they went from, yes, you can have the time off, to no, because of these extreme circumstances, where we now have to even mix brands, we can't afford to lose any more star power. So I truly think he's not going anywhere. I truly think he's going to stay put. Becky Lynch is probably going to, you know, stay home and whatever, and he's just going to do the – what's the difference? At this point, if he's just basically centrally located in Florida, they'll just stay there. I don't know when this is going to all open up again or what states that they're planning on attempting to get audiences in or do shows. I don't know. But I would bet you they don't give Seth Rollins any time off. I would bet you they don't. Maybe they will when she has the baby. Because by then, 9 months will have went by. They'll probably give him some time then. I don't think they're going to give him time until then. Because they got their backs against the wall. They have very little star power. And it's showing in the ratings. I mean, they're dropping big time. If they ever hit below a million, that's going to be the red light. I mean, I don't know what these networks are going to do. They're already at their throat saying, what are you going to do to fix these ratings? These ratings are terrible. Where's your star power? How come we can't get, you know, top names on here? So I don't think they're going to let Rollins go. And God bless him, Drew McIntyre is doing the very, 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 very best he can. But without the fans to really encourage this and to show the WWE, yes, it's working, I don't know if the WWE has that faith in them. Right now, if you had a full arena and the fans were reacting, they could say, okay, this is working. Drew's all right. You know, we can go with him. But they're not sure of him right now because they're not getting that reaction. Are the fans really as into him as we hope they will be, or maybe they're sick of him? We don't know. See, this is what I always said about the WWE, and a lot of people wouldn't listen to me. I said the WWE has to gauge their reaction based on their fans. That's why the fans are important. And if you ignore the fans' reactions and you say, well, they're booing this guy, we don't care. Let them boo him. He's still our top face, and that's what we're going to do, then you're an idiot. You have to play off what the fans are doing, and right now the WWE is realizing we don't know what to do because we don't have the fans here to guide us. We don't have their input. We can only go by what we think is right. We think Drew McIntyre is getting over. We think he's a good face. We think he's a good, you know, role model for the company, but maybe not. I mean, maybe we pack the arenas and the fans are going to say, oh, we don't like this Drew McIntyre. Who knows? So they're trying to go with a steady hand. They know Seth Rollins. They know what they can expect from him. Kevin Owens, he's not showing up. Look at all the star power they lost. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. Becky Lynch now is gone. My God. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to let Seth Rollins go. Anyway, Shayna Baszler ends up beating Natty in a decent match. And I don't know what happened with Shayna Baszler. I wish I did, because Shayna Baszler was cranking on all cylinders in NXT. She didn't look confused. Her movements and her moves were very fluid. She seemed confident and sure of herself. And in WWE rings, she doesn't. She looks clumsy, a little bit confused about what to do next. It's a problem. I don't know what happened. Somebody's got to talk to her and say, what happened? What is the difference? What's making you unsure of yourself in this ring? Because we can see it. Go back and watch Shayna Baszler matches in NXT. She didn't look like this. There's hesitation. There's this unsure feel to her that just, it's translating when she wrestles. And this is going to cost her career if she does not get on the right track. So somebody's got to do something about that. I don't know whether they've told her you can't do this and you can't do that and make sure you do this. And she's just confused and trying really hard to follow rules. Or she's nervous. You can't say she's nervous with fans. There's no fans. I don't know what the problem is, Mike, but something is wrong with Shayna Baszler that she just doesn't look like she's cranking on all cylinders right now.
Right, and think about this. You just basically gave the championship to Asuka. And at one point, before she came up, we said, we all, on this show, we all agreed that one of the money matches was, well, of course, Becky Lynch versus her, but that's not going to happen. But the other money match would have been Asuka versus Shayna Baszler. Well, not anymore.
I know. That's where they're going with this, Mike. I know that's where they're going with this, but I'll tell you, the way I see Shayna Baszler now, she's not going to be able to keep up with Asuka. She's really not. And whether she wins or not, that's irrelevant. I mean, Asuka will lose if she's told to lose, but the match isn't going to be what it should be because Shayna Baszler right now seems uncertain. Weird, because I just don't know what happened. It's the weirdest thing. Sometimes that happens with NXT people, I've noticed. Some NXT people come up and they're better, like Elias. And then some NXT people come up and they feel like they're lost. And Shayna Baszler, almost from Jump Street, has felt like she's lost. I don't see that same Shayna Baszler that I've seen in NXT. I don't know why. Can't figure it. Unless she really got shook by the fact that Vince McMahon had said he lost confidence in her as a main eventer. Maybe that really shook her confidence. You know, some people need encouragement. And maybe she just feels like, oh man, every move is being scrutinized, everything I do, and boy, that'll get to you. Anyway, we closed the show with Randy Orton and Edge. And they both gave really good promos. But I'm not 100% sure that this is a match that fans want to really see again after WrestleMania, even though Randy Orton did do a great job of saying, look, this is going to be a wrestling match. Throwing me into walls, doing whatever, that's one thing. You can probably handle that. Yeah, I stayed down for the 10 count. after you beat me with chairs. But I didn't stay gone for 9 years. And I think you know that you can't out-wrestle me. So let's just have a wrestling match. And let's see who the better wrestler is. Well, it's an interesting thought. But then it was kind of ruined by Charlie Caruso, who says, if this match ever happens, it will be the greatest wrestling match of all time. Really? Of all time? Wow. That doesn't give much to live up to. It'll only be the greatest wrestling match of all time, and you bastards better make sure it is. You can see Edge and Randy Orton going, wait a minute. Let's not oversell this. Do the best we can here. I don't know. What I do know is this. The WWE is suffering very greatly from this COVID virus thing because there are people who just don't want to show up, like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns. There are people who are now leaving, like Becky Lynch, who's pregnant. You're losing a lot of your star power. And with that star power, you didn't do what you should have done, and that is build up a very, very strong mid-card that was ready to take the place of some of these top-level guys should you need to. You never bothered to do that. You just said, here's my top guys, and I'm running with them. And who cares about everybody else? Everybody else is irrelevant. Well, now a few of your top guys are gone, and those irrelevant guys can't draw your ratings up. So you're in trouble. I hope this teaches the WWE a lesson, and that is you always have to have people on the back burner ready to take that step to the next level. Who's your next Roman Reigns? Who's your next Seth Rollins? Who's your next Bray Wyatt? Who's your next Brock Lesnar? You got to have them ready just in case something happens. And when you don't, and the difference between your top guys and your next level guys are immeasurable. I mean, it's like, here's our A guys, and then our B guys are way, way down. Technically, they're like C or D guys. You can't have that big of a gap. You got to have some guys that are right on the cusp of, I'm one step away from being the next Seth Rollins, the next Roman Reigns, the next Brock Lesnar, or whatever. You got to have them guys. WWE doesn't. And I think if some of these wrestlers become complacent and say, I don't really feel like wrestling right now. I don't know. You know, is Kevin Owens going to come back and be the old Kevin Owens? I don't know. Sami Zayn going to be the old Sami Zayn? I don't know. Roman Reigns going to be the old Roman Reigns? I don't know. The WWE may have a real big problem, and that problem is maybe these guys aren't going to be the big stars anymore. Maybe they've just went away too long. You know, it's like in a band and you're hot, and then you say, it took 4 years to make the next album, and you're like, it didn't sell. I don't know why. We were really hot. Yeah, well, you took too long, man. You should have struck while the iron's hot. Well, Kevin Owens was right there on the cusp of being a huge star, and now, down the ladder he goes. Roman Reigns was a step away from being the champion, and now I don't know if they're going to give him that same opportunity. I don't know. What I do know is when they look at these ratings, they know that they don't have the star power they need to make people tune in. And they're desperately searching NXT and wherever they can for more star power, saying, what do we do? Maybe we just need to make the fans laugh at a bad time like this, so let's do goofy stuff like the ladder match and Money in the Bank and the basketball match. Maybe they want that. Maybe they want R-Truth with fake teeth. They're trying everything. Let me give you a word of advice, WWE. You know what we want? Last night when Becky Lynch and Asuka came out and they had their exchange, that's what we want. We want realism. That you actually say, that doesn't look like they're kidding. Asuka was genuinely happy to hear that Becky Lynch was going to be a mother. She was obviously happy she was the champion. Becky Lynch was saying, look, you're the next best wrestler here. There's no question. She was literally passing her the torch saying, look, you deserve it. You're the best woman wrestler here. And she felt like she meant it. And so we got the sense as fans of this is real. this isn't a scripted nonsense. This is something that's really taking place. And because it was, we felt it was really taking place, we bought it. We bought the whole nine yards of it. We bought that all Asuka didn't know coming out there that she was going to be given the belt and told that Becky Lynch was going to have a baby. We bought all of that. That's what we want, WWE. That's what you need to give us more of. Right on the cusp of realism. Not people being thrown off buildings and, oh, well, as luck would have it, there was another roof there. Really? Well, it took you a long time to fall 6 feet. Because when you got thrown off the roof, it was like, woo! I don't know. And once again, you know, Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio bonded how? Because they're both thrown off the roof. While they're laying there on the roof 6 feet down below, they're like, you know what? You're a pretty nice guy. You're a pretty nice guy, too. You think we should form a tag team? Okay. You want to do it tomorrow? Sure, why not? God have mercy on us. You know, we don't want that. We want that realism that Becky Lynch and Asuka showed. I'll even take the realism that Edge and Randy Orton showed. I'll take that. That's what we want. Todd, they don't give it to us very much, though.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like he said, it's all this, all the WWE superstars don't. Some of them don't want to be there. Like you said, it's the star power is weak right now. It's weak because of this pandemic thing.
Yeah. Now Derek is saying yes. You have to build people up in case something happens and they're ready. Yeah. You would think. That is the most obvious thing in the world. If you're a baseball manager, you may have a really good pitching staff. But if you're a really good manager, you say, hey, one of these guys could go down injured. We have to make sure we got a guy ready to be our fifth starter or can take that spot or whatever. If worst comes to worst, we got to have somebody. You don't wait until your first baseman's injured and say, well, I don't know, we don't have a first baseman. So, have you ever played third base in Little League once? You're the first baseman. And that doesn't work. Good managers of good teams say, we are prepared for any emergency. If something happens to our star player or one of our utility players, we are ready with a replacement that we can absolutely guarantee may not be as good, but will fill the gap and get us through. You don't have that in WWE. They're just like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Put our truth in and get them, you know, to put on them weird teeth. Go shoot a basketball game with the Viking Raiders. That'll be funny. Maybe the audience will like that. No, what we'd like is for you to build up some characters that we actually can relate to. So that if Roman Reigns is out, if Becky Lynch is out, if Kevin Owens is out, if Brock Lesnar is out, we got other guys that you say, well, I'm very interested in what's going to happen with these guys, though. We don't have it. Nobody cares what happens to Aleister Black. I got a bad news for you. If you think Aleister Black is your future, you have ruined him. He could have been, but you've ruined him. And now he's just some dude who walks around pretending to be dark and whatever, and he doesn't even give off that image at all. Not at all. And big deal, he's got tattoos. You're not doing anything with that darkness and that gimmick and that whole, you know, semi-quasi-evil satanic thing. You did nothing with it. Just the entrance, that ain't enough. You got to flesh him out. He has no personality. None. Buddy Murphy, who's a great worker and great on the mic, you never give him the mic, so he has no personality, just some dude. You got to start building these guys up. You've got to start doing it. And this better be the lesson to you, that from this point forward, you better have your guys on the bench ready to come forward. Because you can't always count on your A team. So, what was Raw this week? Well, I'll tell you, A+ at the start, that's for damn sure. I give that segment an A+. Randy Orton and Edge at the end, I'm not really looking forward to the match. And Charlie Caruso's proclamation was dumb. But I'm still, that was pretty close to an A, at least. B+. I don't even talk about the Viking Raiders playing basketball. That's ridiculous. I don't want to talk about the Pretty Ricky thing. That's ridiculous. You gave us a branch on a tree with Bobby Lashley, but no one's interested in Bobby Lashley. I'm sure he's a nice guy and he's a good athlete, and nobody's interested in him. And you can shove him down our throats if you want, but we're not interested in him. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Seth Rollins. That's weird, and I'm not sure that's all that interesting either. So what could have been an A-plus show, if you maintained the quality that you maintained with that first segment, probably ends up being a C-plus, because you just let too many things go. You're already breaking up Zelina Vega's crew. I guess the Lana thing's going nowhere. I don't know where the hell that's going. Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins, that's not thrilling anybody anymore. There's a lot of, like, blah stuff, Mike, that people just don't care about. What's your thoughts?
I agree with you. It's a C-plus show. I like the beginning. I like the whole thing about the, you know, when he went back in the back and everybody was kind of, you know, sitting there congratulating, you know, Becky Lynch and all that stuff. I like that. I like, you know, of course, the Randy Orton and Edge thing. I like that. So there are certain things I like, but everything else, and you're right. Think about this with the Viking Raiders. It should be almost the exact same gimmick as the Berserker. Remember the Berserker?
Yeah. Sure do, yeah.
Yeah, and we actually took that gimmick, we took it seriously, because they did play it. They never played it for comedy. They had,
or at worst comes to worst, even if it's not the Berserker, even I'll take Powers of Pain. You know, at least make them that. The real way to have done this was to have turned the Viking Raiders on the Street Profits. So the Street Profits could have got some sympathy and said, you know, these guys I really thought were our friends. I thought they were happy for us. I thought they were whatever. They're backstabbing bastards. That's all they are. And then you could have had the, you know, Viking Raiders say, anything you can do, we can do better. There, you have always been the secondary team. You will always be the secondary team. You don't have the talent. You don't have the desire. You don't have the guts. And you don't have the strength and toughness to get by us. It's just that simple. Live with it. That would have been a much more compelling storyline than let's go play basketball. I mean, God have mercy. That's just awful. I'm sorry, but that's just awful. So, I mean, this is what we're stuck with. We're stuck with Aleister Black, who has the personality of a cracker, because you don't let him really have a personality. And truthfully, when he has the mic, he's not very good at it anyway. You won't give Buddy Murphy the mic at all. Seth Rollins is good, but you're underplaying him and making this weird thing that's not happening. You're making Rey Mysterio way too big a part of your show. Rey Mysterio is a legend, but his spot is to just be the extra guy, the enhancement talent to hit spots now and then, the extra draw. He can't be your main focus. That's the problem. You don't have a main focus. What's your main focus? Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin? Wow. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go to the same grade with you as well.
All right. So we got, look, I'm not trying to be hard on this show, because I really loved it when it started out. But by the time we got to the basketball and we got to the R-Truth putting on the weird teeth, I'm like, wow, is this what wrestling is going to be now? Just some kind of a, and again, I'm not against comedy wrestling like Jim Cornette is. I like comedy wrestling, but that's for your undercard. That's for the people you really have nothing for, and you say, well, they're the lighthearted people. They're the blue meanies. They're never going to be the champion, but they'll contribute in the show. They're the R-Truths. They're never going to be the champion. They're going to contribute to the show because they're funny. They're the Santino Morellas. There's a spot for them.
60 seconds.
But it's not your tag team champions. Simple as that. Anyway, folks, we'll be back here on Friday to discuss AEW and NXT, and we'll see about when the crowds begin to file back into the arenas. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle